Well, praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I know this seems unusual to you, the whole scenery of me sitting in a room with my back against the wall in the corner. You're accustomed to seeing me preach the gospel from the platform or perhaps from a studio. But I'm doing this for a purpose. I'm doing this because it matches my message. I'm here to tell somebody that God is doing a new thing. And whenever God does a new thing, it brings disruption into our lives in a way that often makes it feel like this is not God. This can't be God moving. But I'm here to tell you that God is moving in the midst of us. He's shaking the heavens and the earth. And this new thing is springing forth right in front of our eyes. You've often heard me say that something new doesn't come into being until something old is allowed to fall apart. And though it might feel like things are falling apart, I'm here to tell you and to encourage you and to let you know it's not falling apart, it's falling into place. And so I want to take you to the word of the Lord this morning, Luke's gospel, the 5th chapter. I'm going to pick this up at verse 36. Verse 36, so right where you are in your living room, your bedroom, your kitchen, wherever you're watching this message, however you're watching this message, God is about to speak to you. Let's go to the word of the Lord. Luke's gospel, the 5th chapter, verse 36 says this, and he spoke also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh rent, it tears. And the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. So in other words, you're going to mess up the new garment and the old garment is not even going to be able to take the new piece of clothing to it. Verse 37 says, and no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he says the old is better. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Father, without a word, how can we live? For the word is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. So Father, speak a word today that will change our very nature and cause us to be conformed to the image of your son, Jesus. May we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, we are in an age of technology. We've shifted from the industrial age to the age of technology. Technology advances so fast that most of us really can't keep up. The phone that I am using today, the camera that is watching me at this very moment might be outdated and obsolete in a year. The computer that you're watching me on or whatever piece of technology that you're using could be old in a week because something new comes to replace it. So within a year or two, you know, we wouldn't even be able to get the parts for it. We wouldn't be able to get perhaps some new features that's available or some new apps that's available because we are using something old. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating because the reason it's frustrating is because most of us, many of us, including myself, don't move at that level of speed. We don't move that fast. We don't want to make decisions that quick. But often in this technological age, the future is faster than what we think it is. And so it surprises us to a point and to a level and to a degree because what we're using and the platforms that we're on will look old and they'll be slow and slower and slowest the next year or the next season or the next few months or the next cycle some new piece of technology comes out. And as frustrating as it is, it does not stop us from taking the opportunity or the advantage of the technology, even though it can be frustrating, it's still helpful and it's still useful. And so many of us are right now on technological devices that have outdated software, or there's an upgrade in your phone right now that, or in your computer right now that you've yet to take the time to do, and it will handle all of the glitches and all of the misfires and the mishaps that you have to deal with working on your machinery. And yet and still, we won't make the choice to go ahead and download what is available to you. And I'm here to tell somebody today, right in the beginning of this message, there is an upgrade for your life. There is a download for your life. There is something available to you from the kingdom of heaven that is at your disposal, but it requires you to make the choice to go after it. It requires you to make the choice to go and get it. It requires you to make the change. And the problem with making the change is that change is always uncomfortable. However, if you want to take advantage of the opportunity, if you want to take advantage of the technology, you have to realize that perhaps what you're using simply doesn't fit for where you're going. This is a modern way of me trying to describe to you the text that we have taken. The text that we have taken is Jesus responding to his critics. And his critics are coming after him because he's going to sit down and have a meal with a sinner. He's just healed somebody and he's going to sit down with a tax collector, and they take issue with it. And so Jesus responds to his critics, because your critics don't need to be canceled as much as they need to be corrected. I'm going to say that again. Your critics don't need to be canceled as much as they need to be corrected. No matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you do or how you do it, you're going to have critics. But you have to remember that your potential and your promotion comes from the Lord. My goodness. My God, you have to understand that if God's going to do something in your life, if he's put something in you, an ability, a talent, a dream, that comes from him, not from your critics. All a critic can do is remind you that opinions don't lead to opportunities. Somebody ought to write that down. That's worth the price of admission right there. Opinions never lead to opportunities. They're just that, opinions. But I don't have to cancel your opinion in order for me to move forward. I can simply correct it by going after what God told me to go after, proving you wrong. There's safety, yes, in a multitude of counselors, not a multitude of critics. And if you find yourself surrounded by many critics, you cannot allow those critics to diminish the choice that you are about to make to move forward with your life. You see, the people who were waiting on Jesus as the Messiah, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew that he was coming. But they did not know that when he came, that it would disrupt everything that they knew, everything that they experience, everything that they held dear, because everything new typically becomes old. In this world that Jesus is in this text, and the people who are following him, their expectation and hope was that God bringing in this new era, this new age, that it would come once and for all, that it would never again be outdated, that it would never have a process to it. Yeah. They thought that the old would simply just pass away and the new would come, and that would be that. They figured it would be a one-off transitions. One-off transitions we can handle just fine. One-off transitions, you know, starting a new job or getting married, or moving to a new home or to a different state. All those things are one-off transitions. They're not typically repeated over and over and over again. But here, they weren't ready for the new thing that the Lord was doing. And so Jesus gives them an illustration that applies very well to our contemporary circumstances. And so what he is doing in this moment in his response to his critics is he's putting into effect essentially what God is bringing into this moment, the new thing that is happening into this moment. And what he's trying to describe is that the new thing doesn't work with old ways, because the old ways just don't fit. They are obsolete because, not because they're bad, not because they're wrong, not because they weren't God, not because they didn't have a some sort of service or some sort of relevance in that timing, but simply because it has a new power attached to it and a new possibility attached to it and a new hope attached to it, that what was is no longer relevant for what is about to be. And it is those three things that I want to talk to you about today. A new power, a new possibility, and a new hope. You see, novelty is always threatened, especially when people have built their lives around an old way of doing things. Something new and powerful is always threatened when we've built our lives around something old. And so we don't want to let the old thing go. But as I step into this text, I'm taking these two things, garments and wineskins, to talk to you about a new power, a new possibility, and a new hope. A new power, garments represents new moments and new mantles. The first time someone got a new garment in scripture was Adam and Eve, but it was at a moment of their greatest shame. Adam and Eve got a new garment when they fell from grace and they tried to sew the fig leaves on them because of their fall. The Bible says that Adam and Eve, after eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, even though the Lord told them not to do it, they did it anyway. And so as they did, they fell from grace. This is very important because when God came to search for Adam, the Bible says that Adam said that he was naked and ashamed and he hid himself. We call this in theological terms original shame, but I want to switch that. I want to shift that narrative and say this was not a moment of original shame. It was a moment of original blessing. Oh my God. See, they hide from God when God comes looking for them because of the shame that they feel of what they did, but what they did is not who they are. God was looking for who they were, not for what they did. He said, where are you? Not what did you do? And Adam responded and said, I was naked, so I hid myself. He's responding to the inner critic on the inside of them. And God said to him, who told you you were naked? You see, there's an implication there that is silent in the text that suggests that God is saying, I didn't tell you that. Who told you? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you had to walk around with that shame? Who told you you had to walk around with that guilt? Who told you you had to walk around with that feeling of inadequacy, with that feeling of fear, with that feeling of doubt? Who told you? God steps into this moment as a seamstress, and he begins to sew together a new garment, because the insignificant fig leaves that Adam placed upon him and Eve weren't enough to cover what they did in the first place. And so the Lord steps in as a seamstress, and he begins to cover them and protect them from their shame. And he sacrifices an animal in Genesis 3. My God. And out of that sacrifice, he takes the skin of the animal and he clothes Adam and Eve in new skin. This is a new garment. You see, today we live with primal shame because we've created a culture of punishment rather than a culture of possibility. We would rather punish you for what you did rather than show you the possibility of who you can become, even though you've made some mistakes and had some setbacks and gone through some traumatic events. But God always wants to step into our life as the great seamstress that he is and cover us significantly in the places that we cannot cover ourselves. Joseph was thrown into a pit by his brothers. His coat of many colors was taken, dipped in blood, shown to his father to suggest that he was dead and would not be coming back. But when we get into the book of Revelations, as that coat was torn and shredded in the book of Revelations, Jesus is wearing the coat of many colors because no weapon formed against you can prosper. And regardless of whatever the enemy has tried to do to you in seasons past, it is not going to take shape. It is not going to prosper, and it is not going to stop you from becoming who God called you to be. David, at his worst moment of his greatest failure in his life, when he took Bathsheba from Uriah and the prophet Nathan had to come to let him know what he had did, and Bathsheba becomes pregnant and births a child and the child dies. David was sick with himself and he was in depression. And the Bible says that nobody could help him out in this moment. But when the child died, David picked himself up, he cleaned himself off, and the Bible says he put on new garments. I'm here to tell somebody, you've got to put on a new garment. Elisha, when the mantle was placed upon Elisha, the Bible says Elisha had followed him all the way across the Jordan. And when Elijah was taken up into heaven, the mantle that was placed upon him initially at the first meeting went up into heaven and came back down and endued with new power. And Elijah picked up that mantle and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" You're in a moment of new power and new possibility, but you have to put it on. You have to put it on. If that doesn't move you, if that doesn't do it for you, the Bible says in John 1, the Word became flesh. So even the Word itself that was in the beginning that said, let there be, that began to create all things, and by all things it was created, became flesh. It put on a new garment. My God, I feel like preaching in here. You got to put on a new garment, and you've got to make a choice to put on a new garment. You have to make a choice to take off the spirit of heaviness and clothe yourself in the garment of praise. Go ahead and put it right there in the comment section. I'm making the choice. I'm making the choice. I'm making the choice. I'm making the choice to put on a new garment so I can step into this new power. When Jesus was leaving the earth and ascending into heaven, he told his disciples, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents and power over all the power of the enemy." You're entering into a new season in your life. And I hear the Lord saying prophetically, you have to make the choice to own the power, the dunamis, the ability, the might, the authority that God has given you in this moment, not to sit idly by and let life happen to you, but allow you to take life and make life happen, not just for yourself, but for somebody else as well. You see, you have to understand, you have to get this deep down in the depths of your spirit. And I'm just in a moment of prophetic announcement over your life that God has given you power now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of you. You got power. Go ahead and put it in the comment section and say, I got power. 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 You have the power to make the decision. You have the power to make the move. You have the power to start the business. You have the power to keep going. You have the power to not quit. You have the power to forgive them. You have the power. Go ahead and type, I got power. You have power. God has given it to you. God has given it to you. And so with that power, with that new garment, with that new clothing, with that new understanding, take off that spirit of heaviness and put on that garment of praise, because you got power. And when you understand your power, then you realize the possibilities. the possibilities. This text is suggesting new possibilities. You know, there's an old quote that says opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and it looks like work. The reason we miss the opportunities is because opportunities don't look like opportunities. They look like work. They look like work. You see, the new garment, the fact that there were new garments available in the text, the fact that there was a new garment and new wine available suggests that there's a choice that we have to make. You have to make the choice. You have to make the choice. You see, the gulf between your present and your future is erased when you take action. And the distinction between the two is made absolutely clear the moment you take action. You see, a decision to change your garment allows your past to no longer be misery, but rather a memory of how far you have made it and how much God has kept you. Oh, that's a good place right there to shout and say, I know the Lord has kept me. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Do I have anybody on here that can say, I know God's kept me and he's still keeping me right now? And as I make this choice to change my garment, to own my power, to understand that I have the capability to move my life forward. As I do that, I have to remember how far God has brought me. Do I have anybody on here that can testify that the Lord has brought you a mighty long way? Yeah, just go in and type it in the comments and say, God has brought me a mighty long way. Yes, he has. And as we enter into this season of possibility, because that's where we are, a season of possibility. Whenever God is doing a new thing, whenever there's this much disruption, it is always bringing you into a season of possibility. What does that mean? When you enter into a season of possibility, you have to begin with the end in mind, not with what you see in the moment or in the circumstance. If you begin with the end in mind, then you can make the decision to start out towards what you saw. In other words, architects start with blueprints, not with buildings. You've never seen an architect just start off with a building, but you've always seen an architect start out with a blueprint. And the blueprint of your life and the blueprint of what God is doing is always begun with the end in mind. The Bible says God declares the end from the beginning. And so he never starts a thing without the end in mind. You have to start with the end in mind. Where are you trying to go? What are you trying to accomplish? And put yourself in that space, knowing that you have the power to move towards what you see. As you put on this new garment and move toward the possibility, your dream then catches up with you rather than you trying to catch up with your dream. It was Jeremiah whom the Lord came to and said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says, I see this rod blossoming and blooming into an almond. I see this rod of an almond tree blossoming and blooming. And God says, you have seen well, for I will hasten after my word to perform it. God is after his word. He's after what he's spoken over your life. And as you make that decision to move forward towards what you see, towards what God has said, right as God is taking you forward, taking you to where you want to go, taking you to what you dreamed about, taking you to what you envisioned, it is often that it doesn't feel like God because it doesn't show up the way you thought it would. It doesn't show up the way that you envision in your mind. Jesus is responding to his critics in this moment. And he's responding to his critics in this moment because he's trying to let them know that what they prayed for, what was prophesied to them, what they believed for years in their traditions and rituals is now in front of them. And they don't recognize it. And they don't see it because it's showing up in a garment, in a form that they didn't understand. And so all they could do was criticize it because they didn't understand it. And so as Jesus is trying to tell them, he says, you can't take a new garment and put it on an old garment. Because even if you take a piece of the new and put it on the new is ruined and the old can't handle the new fabric. Both are going to fall apart. You can't take a piece of what God is doing and try to put it on something old. You can't take or pray for God to do a new thing while you continue to do an old thing. And we can't pray for God to shift us and move us and elevate us and promote us. And when he does, criticize it or complain about it. Bishop Jake said, if you want to stop seeing disruption, don't pray for change. And Jesus is addressing this issue with them. So that they don't miss the moment, but they're missing this moment because it doesn't look the way they want it to look. And it's unorthodox and the method is different, even though the message is the same and the vessels are different, even though the victory is going to be the same. And God is shifting and shaping and shaking everything up. And they're criticizing it in this moment. But I'm here to tell somebody, you're not going to miss your moment. You ought to put that right in the comment section. I am not going to miss my moment. I'm not going to miss my moment because of my tradition. I'm not going to miss my moment because of the ritual. I'm not going to miss my moment because this is what I've always done and this is how I always done it and this is the only way I know it. No, if God's going to do a new thing, I am open to God doing the new thing because this is a moment of possibility and that possibility can be very probable with every step I take, every decision I make to move towards what God said because it's here. It's here. It's here. And as we're trying to move toward what God is saying, it requires a new hope. A new hope. You see, the wineskin represents a new hope. Why do I need a new hope? Hope is very powerful. Now it abides faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But your hope has to constantly be renewed. Now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So the substratum of faith is hope. It's the base. It's the bottom of what I hope for. And as I try to build from this bottom up, I have to constantly remind myself of the foundation that I'm building on or what I'm moving towards. It's always on that foundation of hope. And so this is a renewal. A new hope is a renewed hope. It's a reminder to yourself that I believe God. My God. Just go ahead and put that in the comment section. I believe God. We used to sing a song. I believe God. I believe God. I believe, I believe, I believe God. That was the whole song. You got to believe God like more than you have ever believed in before. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. This is a moment for a new hope. And the wineskins represent a new hope. A new hope. Because the beauty of the wineskin is that he's not suggesting that you have to discard the old skin. He's saying that the old skin can't handle the new wine. Oh, my God. He's not saying that you don't have to toss or throw away the old wineskin. He's saying, no, I just can't put this new wine in the old skin because if I do, then the old skin will burst and that will be ruined. I can still use the old wineskin, but I can't put this new thing, this new joy, this new endeavor, this new methodology, I cannot put it into the old skin. If I put it into the old skin, it will burst. And so I can keep the old skin around, and the old skin is going to have to expand, and it's going to have to go through a process in order to receive this new thing. So my old mindsets and my old proclivities and my old ideologies might have to get an upgrade and might have to have a download in order to have the capacity to be open to the new thing that's about to happen in my life. And it requires a new hope, and a new hope can only be activated by belief. You've got to believe. And the problem with belief is that the concept of it, or the definition of it, or the understanding of it varies very widely. Many of us understand belief as a component of success, to go anywhere, to have any type of accomplishment, to reach any height. You got to believe that you can get there. And we understand it in that framework, but for most of us, the concept of belief is too ethereal, is too otherworldly, is too nebulous, is too out there. And as we begin to understand the meaning of it, it then doesn't have a lot of meaning to us, because we say we believe, but nothing happens. And then we're disappointed, and our beliefs are diminished, and our faith not exercised. It's not that we lose it. Oh God, help me, Holy Ghost. You can't lose your faith. You can only not exercise your faith, and it stays at the same measure that God gave it to you when he gave it to you. For God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And so when you hear the Lord says, "O ye of little faith," which Jesus often said, he was not saying you don't have no faith. He was saying you're not exercising the measure that I gave you. And so it's still little. But then he comes along and tells us and encourages, even if you measure, even if you would just stretch it a little bit, if you got it the size of a mustard seed, it could still move a mountain. My God, what could you do if you really believed God? I feel that thing down in my spirit. What could you accomplish if you really truly believe God? And so this is going to require belief. Belief. And I want to say to you, and I want to suggest to you, and offer you a different take on the concept of belief. It is not intangible. It is substantial. It is the thing that substantiates your hope. Now faith is the substance, the substantiation of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah. Belief, it is the glue that holds everything together, your emotions and your actions and your resources, whether you know you got them or not. It holds all of that together, and it creates what would be something out of seemingly nothing. Belief. Belief. Belief is an attitude. It is an attitude. It's not given to you. It's not bestowed upon you. It is a choice you have to make. It is a choice you have to make. It is a choice you have to make. When the opportunity comes, you have to choose to believe. When the moment shifts, when the new season comes, when you step into your power, into the age of possibility, you have to make the choice to believe. To make the choice to believe. And belief will be the fuel that allows you to pursue the opportunities. Because you believe the opportunity is real. You believe that the opportunity has merit. You believe that the opportunity is purposeful, and you believe that the opportunity has promise. God did not bring you this far for you to just fall apart. And so he has me in a room, in a corner, with my back up against the wall, to tell somebody that the new thing that he's doing might look like you're in a small place with old garments. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And he is challenging you in this moment to walk in the newness of life, clothed in his righteousness, clothed in his power. Because what you're about to do, you can't do on your own. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. What you are about to do, you cannot accomplish on your own. You're going to need the power of the living God to do it. But it can be done. And that's the possibility. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, somebody just put that in the comment section. It can be done. It can be done. It shall be done. In the name of God's Christ, in the name of the one who was risen from the dead, it shall be done. And as you walk into this season of possibility with that mindset, with that determination, with that level of belief, nothing shall be impossible unto you. But if you become stuck like the one that says, I've drank the old and I don't want to try the new, then it will seem as though you're backed into a corner. It will seem as though you don't have any options. It would seem as though it's over. But I'm here to tell somebody, you're back. It's not up against the wall. Your back is not at a corner. You are not at an impasse. You are not at a place that doesn't allow you to have options. No, no, no. God has you in what feels like a corner so that you can make a choice to come out and put on a new garment, so that you can make a choice to come out and try a new wineskin, so that you can make a choice to realize that the new thing that God is doing in your life is him, and it's powerful, and it's pleasant, and it's peaceable. And there's peace attached to this. There's peace attached to this. And so stop trying to fit the power that God wants you to walk into a fabric that will shred the moment you try to attach something new to it. And stop trying to take pieces of what God is doing and about to do in your life and try to make it fit into something old because of the criticism that you're getting externally and internally. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. And I pray that your perception will be enlarged, that your heart will be open and expand to receive what God is doing. Because he's still moving. He's still doing wonders. And oftentimes he will shift the vessels. He will shift the skins. He will change the garments so that you can walk into your new season full of power, full of power. I'm praying that you receive this word. It was as much a message as it was a prophetic declaration over your life and over this moment of your life. Garments and wineskins. Power and possibilities. They require hope. They require belief. And as you believe God to get you to your destination, as you believe God to bring you through this transition, as you believe God to come out of this pandemic, you might not have come out unscathed. You might have had some losses. God knows I have. We all have. You might have had some setbacks. You might have had some disappointments. But as you come out of all of this, know you're coming out with new power and new possibilities and a new hope in Jesus' name. Man, God bless you. I pray this word was an encouragement to you. Would you consider being an encouragement to us? It has been a tremendous year so far. I've seen God do extraordinary things. And as our own church is in all types of transition, as the vision that God has placed upon us moves forward, we cannot do it without your support. And so if you would consider sowing a seed, it would be a great blessing to this ministry. You can text Give KLC to 73256 to sow your seed right now. This is an age of new possibility. This is an age of new power, and it's an age of new hope. And I pray you take that word into your spirit and be encouraged and know that you're sowing into good ground. For 18 years, we've seen God do wonders here. For 18 years, every promise that he's given us has just about come to pass. God has been faithful, and we've been faithful stewards, and this is why we remain, and we will continue to remain, and the work will continue to go forward. And we thank God for that. And we do that knowing that we have faithful individuals like you who help support this ministry. So give as unto the Lord. You can text to give. You can go online and give. You can download our church app on Google or iTunes, and you can do it there. However you do it unto the Lord. And may God give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. May men find you and give back to your pocket. Be blessed. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield, and may his angels encamp themselves round about you, and may his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you, and I'll see you next week.